Rusty Quill presents.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, welcome to SBRR, a retrospective on Spirit Box Radio. I'll be going through the show part by part, thinking about the themes and my intentions as a writer. These retrospectives will include heavy spoilers for the show, so please go back and listen before you tune into them. Already caught up? Awesome. I'm Ada Major, the creator of Spirit Box Radio. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to SBRR. I'm Ava, and this week we're going to be talking about episodes 11 through 20 of season 1.
How many have sat here before me? How many sets of lungs have breathed particles of this very air that I breathe now? What plants turned out the oxygen? How many thousands, millions of years ago did they wither and die? How long now until I wither and die too?
In a re-listen to the show, to me, episodes 11 to 20 are where the show really begins to hit its stride. It starts to feel like it has a sense of where it wants to go, and the tone of the show really starts to get established. I'm becoming more confident in my writing of the show, and also feeling more confident in my ability to turn that writing into a coherent piece of media.
We have received a letter from someone in Whitby about... Oh, there's blood on it. We had another one of those scraps of cloth this week. We started getting them about a week after Madame Marie disappeared. We've had three more since then, but this one was weird because the blood seemed fresh. It got on my favourite t-shirt. I do hope the stain comes out in the wash. It was right over one of the little blue stars. It's completely ruined Orion's belt. So annoying.
Two pretty significant things happened around this point in the show's run, which are worth bearing in mind. The first is that I'd completely finished working on Clockwork Bird, which really boosted my confidence in terms of what I was capable of achieving. Lots of people really enjoyed the end of Clockwork Bird, and so that part of me that worried I wouldn't be able to pull off Spirit Box Radio got a little quieter, which was really nice. I'm always pretty critical of my own work, and I struggle to this day to truly perceive anything I've had a hand in creating as being in any way good. I know that a lot of that is just because of my head being a bit malfunctioning, so I try my best to work through that and move on if I can.
If any of you faithful listeners know of anything related, please send us a message on the Spirit Box Radio forums. I'd be so excited to know what you have to say. Tune in next week for any updates.
The other thing was that this was where I started to see the first little jump in the show's listenership. I think it was partly because people had jumped over when they finished listening to Clockwork Bird, but I also started to get the hang of some social media marketing at this point, so I saw a few more people taking an interest. It was really exciting and even more confidence boosting.
Unless you're suggesting I did something of an arcane nature.
You know full well that's not what I'm suggesting, because magic
does not exist. Yes, thank you. I'm well aware of your baffling opinion.
It's not baffling. It's common sense.
Right. Okay.
Through this phase of the show too, I had started the casting process for characters who would start appearing in the second part of season one, and had got much more significant amount of interest from actors than I ever could have dreamed of getting. All this fed back into my enthusiasm about making the show and putting it together, and that confidence I think really comes across in the improved structure of episodes and that slightly more cohesive feeling between each episode too. The overall flow of the show just begins to improve across these episodes, which is really helped by the fact that we're building up to the mid-season finale, which is really the first real twist in the show's multi-season arc that we see shift the characters in the show.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's Madame Marie.
Oh my God. We have to call the police. We have to. We have to.
Anna, we can't.
Are you insane? There is a dead woman. Our mother. We have to call.
Anna, look at him.
She's written something. Scratched it into the floor with her fingernails. It says, "Heir apparent."
The mid-season finale has a profound, unresolvable impact on Sam, and you really get a sense that something big is coming, I think, in the build-up to the episode. Though you're never really sure what that's going to be until it happens. It always felt quite cool to me to have spent so much time talking about where Em has gone, theorising when she'll be back, and then having it turn out she's been dead the whole time. I think it's a great start of show red herring to have all you lovely listeners plotting along with Sam about what you think Em might be up to in the background. He doesn't really bring this suggestion that she might be dead to the table, even as a possibility. And whilst there's this real sense that whatever has happened to Em is much more sinister than Sam believes, the idea she's dead is not really entertained as a possibility. I think Anna and Kitty not really suggesting that might have really helped, especially when it comes to Anna. You really get a sense that she really believes Em is capable of just upping and leaving, and I think that really helps. It feels super impactful when the body is discovered, even disregarding all the stuff about what happens when they're actually down there.
This is all really besides the point anyway. There's something wrong with the old house.
What do you mean?
It's different somehow.
Another thing I'm really proud of in reflection are Kitty's interactions with the Impossible House. I like how her phone calls from inside it are our first real introduction to it, so our understanding is primarily experiential rather than descriptive.
It's like everything was less. I mean, not smaller, not like there are any doors missing or walls, just everything felt somehow diminished or insubstantial. As though at any moment, despite the solid floor under my feet, I might just find myself outside staring at an empty plot.
I remember I had really struggled with how I was going to convey the Impossible House's non-Euclidean architecture effectively in an audio-only way. And using phone calls with Kitty as a device to communicate that was really effective, I think. The moment where she's calling Sam from inside the house and then completely forgets she went inside from the moment she leaves is great. It connects up so well with Sam's musings about his own memory problems too, which are just beginning to pull focus throughout this part of the show.
See this house, it's the first time I've been this close and that defence mechanism hasn't kicked in. Usually I'd be halfway down the road by now, so I need to take this chance.
Kitty, listen, whatever is wrong with the house, it's not what you think right now. You've been inside. You were talking to me about my bedroom, about the window.
The window?
Right, it's here. It's in this house now. The window moved.
That doesn't make any sense.
You're telling me.
Sam, I don't understand what you're playing at, but I need to go into the house and take a look around. I promised Madame Marie I would.
Kitty, please do not go back into the house.
This is part of what really helps me feel like the show is beginning to establish its tone at this point. Sam's memory problems really clearly point to him being an unreliable narrator. I think you get a sense right from episode one that he's unreliable because he's ignorant and naive, but here you begin to see hints that he deliberately withholds and restricts information.
What if she doesn't come back? No, she will. She always does. I should stop dwelling on all of this, faithful listeners. So should you. No more theorising about her on the forums. She'll be back before we know it, faithful listeners. Now, what else is there to do today?
This is particularly noticeable because I'm also establishing that Sam isn't entirely in control of what he's sharing whilst he's broadcasting. He really gets into apologising for sharing his personal life in part two of season one, but the first suggestions of that really come to their own in this section of the show when I listen back to it. The Anna phone call in 114 and all of the crystal ball scenes really set that up for me.
A man in a shell suit and flat cap. Hang on. Mr. Prakash, Mumbai, my beloved, wandering the streets, and there it is. A man in a shell suit and a flat cap. What was I saying? Recording machine?
Hello, Sam Enfield.
A character I feel really stands out in this section of the show for me is Sam. I feel like I seem like I'm performing him more confidently. He's starting to reveal more of his own personality, and I think that's really great. And of course, the big finish in 120 is really cool. I know I'm praising myself here, but I just find it really fun.
The water in the bath as smooth as glass. A single drop fell from the tap. Betty reached forward and turned the tap. It squeaked. Nothing came up. She looked up. The curtains were suspended as though caught on the wind, but didn't quiver in it. Goosebumps raised on Betty's arms. She grabbed her robe and walked down the stairs.
A thing I'd approach differently if I were remaking the show now is that I'd have approached the crystal ball stuff a little differently, I think. At the time, I was aiming to have these almost entirely disconnected stories which would later connect up with the man in the flat cap, but I think there were a lot of instances in these earlier episodes where they feel too disconnected. That happens, I think, because I didn't have a full grasp on what I was going to do with the man in the flat cap yet, and I wasn't really aware of that yet. One thing I noticed was that after listening to episodes 1 to 10, I felt the need to go back and make changes to those episodes to bring them up to a higher standard. One thing that was interesting about going through this revisions process was that by around episode 18, I was making so many fewer changes.
I held his hand and sort of snoozed, but it was difficult because the machines keeping him alive were really loud. It was the quiet that made me wake up. All the monitors hushed. They were still running, but I could barely hear them. And there was this cold breeze that wound in like someone had opened a window, but nobody had moved and nobody had come in. I sat up. Mum was asleep on the camp bed, but Dad was awake. He was looking right at me. Through the silence, I heard a click, clack, click, clack, exactly like the sound our dog's paws made when she walked on the kitchen tiles.
This is super interesting, as this is when I got a new microphone. I'm not sure what it was about getting the new mic, but it seems to have really pushed me to improve my editing skills. It's probably also because I had gained more experience and confidence following the end of Clockwork Bird, which was being compounded by the audience enthusiasm for Spirit Box Radio. It's really cool that I got to about episode 19 and the main things I wanted to change were stylistic rather than mechanical. There were fewer mistakes and more style decisions that I agreed with. In part, I think that's because my performance of Sam had started to get more confident by this stage too.
Whilst we're on the topic of forums, I would like to implore yet again that the user under the alias of CovenBabe666 stops attempting to use the services to organise a group séance.
It's interesting how this intersects with the show's in-story arcs. The interplay between the story and the external factors surrounding the show's creation are really, really interesting. It's not deliberate, but I think because the show is so much about the audience-creator relationships, it sort of necessarily ends up having a conversation with my own real-life experiences. I do want to say that the show is not at all autobiographical, with one pretty significant exception, but that's a season 2 thing and we'll get to that when we get to it.
Samael, Apollo Enfield.
What are you doing?
I am Samael, Apollo Enfield, heir apparent to the Blood Rose Crown. I speak and will be heard.
What am I saying? Faithful listeners, I think it's time for bed.
In conclusion, I feel like by the end of season one, Spirit Box Radio really starts to feel like it's coming into its own. It's really nice to reflect on this period of rapid confidence growing and see how much that's actually reflected in the content. Very cool to hear. I look forward to speaking to you about episodes 21 to 30 very soon. But now, thanks for tuning in. Stay spooky, folks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.